Welcome to Pillar and Ground Podcast. I'm Will Nettleton, pastor of Mission and Worship here at LMPC, and this episode is a Pillar and Ground Questions episode where we seek to provide biblical perspective for today's pressing questions. And today's episode is actually part of an ongoing series that we started last year called The Whys of Worship. We've done a couple of episodes in March of 2023 on the whys of Reformed worship and the whys of expository preaching. If you have not heard those, do go look back in your podcast feed. You can find those there or on our website. But today we're moving on to the whys of worship and particularly the question of liturgy. And so we're going to get into all of that in just a few moments. But today I'm joined by Hannah Lutz, who has had a number of roles on our staff over the years. Maybe we can talk about that for a minute, but currently is our worship and music staff writer, very involved with the putting together of our liturgy here at LMPC. Welcome, Hannah.
Hi.
Hannah, first of all, maybe, just talk a little bit about like your history here at LMPC. So just like your roles, your role now, kind of how that's changed over the years. Let me get you to start even further back. Why don't you just tell us, first of all, just how you got here, not to Planet Earth, but to LMPC, where you're from, kind of how you came to faith, how you felt this call into this type of work.
So funny story. David Henry was actually my admissions rep at Covenant College.
Oh, nice.
So that was how I first met him. And okay. When he got the job at LMPC, doing music first in the fellowship hall, he knew that I played viola and asked me to come play. So I first started just playing music in the fellowship hall services for several years. And then after a while, really interested in that, enjoyed it a lot. Was more interested in the worship side, and asked David if I could intern in some capacity and help out a little more with Sunday services. And so that was sort of how it began. And then from there, went part-time, went full-time, I believe in 2016, as the assistant director of worship and music. Okay. And did lots of things in that job. And then just recently, I guess about a year ago, went part-time again. So now I'm the worship and music staff writer. So I primarily just help with creating the services, planning the services, sort of seasonal things that we do, and writing prayers and any other writing that's needed.
Awesome.
And before that, I grew up in the church, grew up in the PCA. My dad was a PCA pastor before he retired. Very familiar with Reformed worship and Reformed faith. And I, you know, because of that, was exposed to the truth of the gospel from a young age and was just very familiar with, all of the trappings of faith and life in the church. And I think over time, you know, that was powerful to me from the beginning, but I would say, especially in middle school and high school, was when I started to, think of that more as my own and sort of pray with more earnestness and feel more of a sense of a relationship with God that was specific to me and not just specific to my family or my church body. And then over time, just, you know, various mentors and situations and circumstances, you grow and learn and change and feel like every season there's more to learn and your walk with God is different.
Okay. So, and grew up playing music, obviously. So a musician from, I assume, a young age. And then, what did you play in church growing up as well?
I did. Okay. So I started on violin in fifth grade in orchestra, just a lot of fun. And then I think I started playing in church probably in middle school, late middle school, early high school. Our director knew that I played and wanted to try it out. And enjoyed that a lot and kept doing that kind of through college.
And where would you say, as far as liturgy goes, what we're going to talk about today, how did a interest in that develop?
I think having grown up in the church, and especially with my dad as a pastor and being involved to some extent because of the music, I've just always been fascinated by how faith is shaped by the corporate experience of faith and how you learn from other people in worship, how you interact with other people, how people enact their faith in front of other believers, like, and just how God speaks to us as a whole, not just as individuals, how much that shapes us And yeah, I just think it's always kind of been there. Like, I've just always been curious about it, curious about the Lord's Supper, what it is, what, how it works, like what it means, what it's doing to us.
Yeah.
And I kind of can't pinpoint a specific thing. I've just always been really fascinated by it. And of course, working here and doing it more, the more I've worked on crafting services, the more interesting it becomes to me.
Yeah.
And just the more you talk to people about it and hear their experiences. Right. And yeah.
No, that's great. Well, we've used the word a couple of times already, and we may have some folks who are here at LMPC who don't even know what the word liturgy means, what that is. They may have, I mean, I think probably you have folks who, if they grew up kind of in the background I grew up in, you almost can think of liturgy as something that types of churches do,
right?
Like that there are liturgical churches and non-liturgical churches. But even before we get into any of that, can you just kind of help us understand, maybe someone who's new to this conversation, what are we even talking about when we talk about liturgy? What
yes,
is that?
Yes, I think you're totally right. Yeah, we associate that word with very structured services, like a Catholic Mass or an Anglican service or something like that. But that word actually just refers to any time of worship that is set aside. And it could be really formal, like an Episcopalian setting, could be really casual, like you don't have a printed bulletin and everything is very spontaneous. But both of those still have a structure and a narrative that you walk through that facilitates that dialogue between God and his people and communicates something about who God is and who those people are. So any structure like that is a liturgy. And just like the word itself, there are two words in Greek for worship. The first one can be translated to fall to the knees before, and the other is translated more as like to serve or the work of the people. And that second one, liturgia, that's where we get our word for liturgy. So like in Romans 12, when Paul says you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. You could also say there, this is your spiritual act of service. So it's sort of this idea that liturgy, it's never just intellectual. It's always accompanied by action. It's something you do that enables you to worship. And yeah, it's literally like the work that we do as God's created people. It's what we're called to.
So there's really no such thing as a non-liturgical church.
Like, right,
If you are showing up and doing worship of any kind, you have a liturgy.
Right.
It may be more unconscious, or it may be more spontaneous in certain elements. But if you have gathered to worship God, you've got a liturgy.
Right.
Okay, so that brings up, I mean, obviously different kinds of churches do this very differently.
Yeah.
There are extremely different liturgies. You mentioned more formal, what are kind of classically called higher forms of liturgy. There's all, you know, other ones as well. How would you differentiate between a faithful biblical liturgy and other forms of liturgy? What, because a big part of this is we're trying to worship. We mentioned this in the Reformed worship episode, but we're trying to worship God the way that he wants to be worshiped.
Totally.
This is one of the big commandment deals. Like, it's, people often miss this with the Ten Commandments, this idea that God says, worship him. And then the second commandment he goes into, don't make for yourself any graven images. He's actually telling them how to worship, how he wants to be worshiped.
Right.
And so as a believing people, we want to worship God the way he wants to be worshiped. And where would we find that? Would be obviously in the scriptures. So I know you know all that, but unpack that for like for people as far as what is it, what do we find in the Bible with respect to liturgy? What is a biblical faithful liturgy? And what's the difference between that and what we sometimes see in other forms of worship?
Yeah. So in the Old Testament, you have descriptions of Israelite worship, and it's very much sort of show, don't tell. There aren't really specific things prescribed, but we have so much detail about what temple worship looked like, what tabernacle worship looked like. Mm. It's very embodied. There's a lot of movement and art and, you know, so many things. But in the New Testament, it's interesting. There's actually very little that is described. There are specific things that are given, but it's not as descriptive, which I think gives us a lot of freedom to sort of express that content in different ways. So in the Old Testament, you have, like, it's always corporate, it's very active. You use your whole body to express submission and praise and all of those things. There's a lot of verbal expressions that are used. It tells the gospel story. You have so many instances of Israel retelling God saving them out of Egypt and how that happened. There's always music involved, sacrifice, offering. And then in the New Testament, similar things, different. You have gathering. People are together when they worship. You have prayer, singing, fasting, giving. If someone's speaking in tongues, there's an interpreter. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, baptism, all these things. And then, of course, caring for the poor, fellowship with other believers. There's that like vertical and horizontal piece where it's between you and the Lord, but it's also you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah.
And so within that, there's a pretty wide spectrum, even of when we say what biblical worship is, worship according to what God has commanded us. There's a pretty wide like array of elements that you just described that could be a part of a faithful biblical service. But kind of the main keys are that it would be corporate, that we're gathering together, that we aren't just, I think Brian says it this way a lot, we're not, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. We are to gather together, and that there is a moving through the gospel story. There's a, as we gather week by week, we are reminding ourselves of the story of the gospel, of sin, of redemption, of our hope in the coming renewal of all things. Good. So, I mean, just to that point about, we talked about it a little bit, but why is this, why is it important to do it weekly? If you had some, perhaps somebody who looks and says, yeah, I get it. Like the liturgy is really important. Like, and you know, once a month is
right, just right for me.
I think that's about like my sweet spot. What would, how would we respond to somebody?
Yeah. I think a lot of it is just God's grace to us and knowing our creatureliness and that we have very short memories. And a lot of limitations, and we need to be reminded and to be actively doing this and participating in it very regularly. Like the less you do it, the less you're reminded of the truth of it, the less it affects your daily life. And so having that as a weekly rhythm really brings all of the elements home in a way that they wouldn't otherwise. I really love the book, You Are What You Love by James K. Smith. And he talks a lot about how so much of what shapes how we live and who we are is more those like small day-to-day actions and practices, much more than sort of the trickle down of our ideas and ideals. And I think that's so true in worship, especially where, you know, if you're praising, if you're singing a song of praise every week, you're reminded of God's goodness, of his glory, of his otherness from us, of how he created us, like all of these things that you maybe would not think of every other day of the week, but become very palpable on a Sunday morning. And that shapes us and forms us into his people.
Yeah. And I think there is too, like a, an element of, especially in the Old Testament, when you look at the calendar of feasts and Sabbath worship and sacrifice, like when you start to track how much they're doing, you're realizing like, oh, it's all the time. Like they are, it's just a wave that is crashing over them over and over and over again because we are a forgetful people.
Right.
Like we are sheep who are prone to wander. And so we really do, there is, you know, we have lost some of the rest of the calendar. But we, like, I do think the week by week worship is really significant for us. And this, like, I mean, the seasons of worship like Advent, other parts of the church calendar, we have to have those every year because they remind us again of the truths of the gospel. So those are really important for our formation. Well, so let's talk about just how we do it at LNPC. You're a big part of how the weekly Sunday services are put together. So how do we do that at LNPC?
Yes. So it's very collaborative. So generally, I take a first pass and kind of put together a rough draft with, you know, printed elements, prayers, song choices, all that kind of stuff. And I put that together. And then the rest of the department, which is Maddie Lee, Joy Gibbons, and David Henry, will look through it after they've gone to sermon discussion and sort of heard where the pastors are going with the passage for that week. And they'll look at what I've put together in light of that and kind of think through if anything needs to be tweaked, make any changes that are necessary. And then it goes to the pastors for approval. In our case, to you.
Which is a fun part of my job is that I get to see it for the week. I mean, I think most people listening will probably know. So obviously we have a service in the sanctuary and in the fellowship hall every week, and we have a different pastor preaching in both places. some people may not know, we gather on Mondays the week before we're to preach, and the two preaching pastors bring their outline, and ministry staff, pastors, and worship staff help us get an outline that can work for both places. So we preach from, even though we have two preachers, we're preaching from one outline on the same text. And then y'all, the worship staff, already having looked at that passage, have put some elements together, but then as a part of that discussion, refine the services even more. And so what I want our people to hear is when they show up on Sunday morning and are handed a bulletin, what they are looking at is a prayed through, thought through narrative. There's a story being told from the beginning of that worship service to the end. They're not just randomly chosen songs that we haven't sung in a while. Or like, you know, whatever, like from the call to worship to the confession of sin to responsive prayers, all of it is driving at what the passage has for us that week. And so I just think that's really cool. I would encourage our people to look, even, you know, the next Sunday that you're here after you listen to this, to just before the worship service starts, even just read through and notice the pattern of how it fits with the sermon passage for the week. Or that could even just be a good family discussion for you and your kids, maybe. What did y'all see? What connections did you see between the passage this week and the songs that were chosen, or the confession of sin, or whatever? Because there are all kinds of connections there.
Right. And our specific format too, I mean, there are sort of some general rules that I kind of keep in mind. Like, we obviously, pointing to the sermon text and those particular themes is a big part of it.
Right.
But then also, because we have all these different elements and they're telling a story, like you said, you want them to serve as the part of the service that they are. So that's kind of the number one priority, right? Is like, if you're looking for a confession of sin, it needs to be a confession of sin.
Right.
It can't just talk about sin in sort of an abstract way.
Yeah.
It's like calling you to something,
right,
and saying something about who God is and who we are. So you sort of have that flow of things. And then you also, like, you want to, the service needs to be Trinitarian. We need to account for the fact that we have God the Father, God the Son, and the Spirit, and that all three are at work with us as we worship. And yeah, there's so many things that go into it.
And that's why I think it's a lot of work, actually, that goes into our services every week to do that well in a way that's not mere repetition, but also isn't novelty for the sake of novelty.
Right,
like, how do you thread that needle and hold those tensions? It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And if you want, I mean, we use scripture obviously for the majority of the services, but then there are creeds and sort of historical readings that are helpful as well. And then sometimes we'll have things that are more contemporary. Sometimes we'll write things, and you want to make sure that the language is obviously in line with what scripture teaches, but is also accessible. And, you know, if you're coming to the service maybe from a different background or less familiar with that kind of language, you know, if you're doing a responsive reading, you need to be able to read it the first time through.
Right.
And it needs to not be so heady or complicated that you're not engaging with it.
Yeah. No, that makes a ton of sense. Okay, so liturgy, every church has one. We have one that's telling a gospel story. We are communicating not just through the preaching of the word, but actually the entire service is a narrative that's reminding us of the gospel, calling us to confess our sins, assuring us of God's pardoning grace, all of those things. So in the next couple of episodes, we're actually going to work our way through the elements of the LMPC service, and just talk about each one of them for all of our people, obviously, but especially if you have not, if you didn't grow up Presbyterian, if you're new to Reformed worship, these next couple of episodes will really help you understand why we do things the way we do them at LMPC. So Hannah, thank you for giving us this intro to liturgy, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Pillar and Ground. We hope you'll join us for these future episodes.